Well, if you'll open your Bible to page 1044, I want to speak today on one subject that everybody can relate. You know, sometimes you go to church and the preacher preaches a sermon and you'll think, well, now, you know, that particular sermon didn't really, that's not one of my problems. You know, it may be that we weren't listening well when we say that, because if they're preaching the Bible, somewhere along the way, it's going to deal with all of us. But our subject today that I want to talk about is anxiety. And all of us, from time to time, deal with anxiety. Now, let me, before I get into this, say that I'm going to show you some verses that will very much help you today. But if you want to read a very, very good book on anxiety, Max Licato has a book entitled Anxious for Nothing. It's the absolute best book on anxiety that I've ever read. Now, what about that? We've got the Baptist minister promoting a Church of Christ preacher's book. Aren't we glad that God is bigger than the Baptist and the Church of Christ and all these others? But anyway, Max Licato is a wonderful, godly man. In fact, years back, maybe 10 years or so ago, a young girl that I knew when she was a little girl, when I pastored in Sulphur Springs, but had grown up, be a beautiful lady, and had married, had children, and they lived then in San Antonio. They moved to San Antonio. And tragically, they went to Licato's church, was killed in a helicopter crash. And I was part of that funeral. That's the only time I've ever met Max Licato. But I saw him behind the scenes. And what I saw was one of the most authentic, genuine Christian men that I think I've ever been around in my life. That helicopter crash took place on Sunday of Easter that year. And that Sunday afternoon, what I later learned was that afternoon, Max Licato and his wife spent the entire Easter afternoon over at the home out around the swimming pool where the other young adults were that knew that young girl, and just ministered to them in a beautiful way. So I just say that to say, when I read his books, I always am reminded that this guy lives what he writes, and that always has encouraged me in such a way. Now, so part of what I'm sharing today comes from the book. Part of it comes from just what I've put together. But I'd encourage you, if you'd like a good book on anxiety, that's a classic. Anxious for Nothing by Max Licato. Now, you know, when we think about anxiety, I was thinking about this, and I didn't get this out of the Licato book. In fact, probably half of what I'm going to say today didn't come out of the Licato book. But as I really was thinking, pondering about anxiety, you know, anxiety is not new. It's not like something that just has happened in the past few years. In fact, when you read the Bible, anxiety goes all the way back to the first man and the first woman. And you remember the story in the Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve, it says they were in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says they heard God, the sound of God walking in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says they went and hid themselves. Now, they had reason to hide themselves. But the point I make is, when I read that verse again, even yesterday, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. I thought, the reason they hid themselves, they felt anxiety, and that's what had them to do that. And then I was thinking again yesterday about what I was going to do today, and I thought, well, you know, it really is as old as man, but actually in the day in which Jesus lived, in the Sermon on the Mount, it's very, very interesting. Jesus talked about anxiety. In fact, in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, in chapter 6, you know, Jesus is telling those that he's teaching, don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. And then he has some tremendous talks about how God takes care of the birds. As I think about that, obviously Jesus saw that the people were anxious about these various things. And that's a great portion of Scripture. And then later on in the New Testament, it's very, very interesting when Jesus was talking about end times. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 21, Jesus said, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life." Of all the things Jesus could have talked about, when he's talking about end times is this whole idea. So I just simply begin today, you know, you may struggle more than you feel like you should, or maybe you don't struggle a whole lot, maybe you have a family member, friend, whatever, but here's the bottom line. Anxiety is as old as man, but what's different is the epidemic proportions of anxiety that we have today. Nothing new about anxiety, but what is new is the epidemic proportions of anxiety that we have in even the land where we live. In fact, in one article I was reading on anxiety, made this statement, and it had data to back up the statement, that the United States is the most anxious nation in the world. When I read that, I thought, well, now, where did they get that from? Then I began to think about other nations, and I thought, but they built a pretty strong case on that, and a couple of things that I read that I thought would kind of validated that statement is that stress-related ailments cost our nation $300 billion every year in medical bills and lost productivity. That's a bunch of money. It says over $2 billion was spent last year on anti-anxiety medications. And, you know, a long list of things. So, and then I was thinking, well, there would be a lot of reasons why we in America might be a very anxious people and struggle with anxiety. So many things are going on, of course, not only in our land, but in other nations as well. But nonetheless, I don't think there's any one of us in this room that would say that I never do, you know, struggle very or much at all with anxiety. We all go through that about different things at different times. Now, maybe before we get into our scripture, the question would be, like, what is anxiety? You know, we talk about anxiety and we read about anxiety. Well, what is anxiety? Well, anxiety is a hybrid of two different words. And the best way to kind of visualize it, anxiety is like a sense of unease. You just have a sense or a feeling. And it's not just a little small thing. It just almost can be a paralyzing thing. It's like a feeling of being out of breath. If you ever just sometimes maybe climbed a high flight of stairs or did anything that just got you out of breath and you thought, man, I'm not, maybe I overdid it here a little bit. And you know, like anxiety and fear, you know, they're kinfolks. We might call them cousins, but they're not twins. And let me illustrate this way. Like fear, so what's the difference between fear and anxiety? Well, fear would be if you're walking one morning in your yard through the grass and you look and see a large poisonous snake, you're going to have fear, I hope. I hope. Did you see that on the TV last night? I saw it, and then I read about USA Today this morning, about the guy over in Gatlinburg that decided to see how close he could get to the mother bear. Did any of y'all see that? Yeah. Well, I read this morning that had to happen in Cage Cove. And all I'd say, the guy didn't either understand what he was doing or he's crazy, one of the two. But here comes this mother bear with about three cubs. And this guy just gets out of his car and decides to kind of walk over and check him out. And let me tell you by experience, you don't check out the mother when the cubs are around. And of course, the mother kind of charged him. And the man backed up, and then the mother stopped. Now, I can guarantee you what that man felt was fear. I was fearful watching the thing. But now, you see, anxiety would be, like if you're going back to my grass in the snake illustration, anxiety would be that if every time you walk in your yard, you have this feeling of unease that somewhere here there's going to jump up a snake. Or if I remember the time that Dottie and I were caught, you've heard me tell the story, and I won't go in again, between the mother bear and the cubs that fell out of the tree up at the Cove, Billy Graham Conference Center. And that was not good. Now, I was fearful. Like I was real fearful. There's not a word to tell you what I was, because I didn't know how we were going to get out of that. And I never have understood exactly how we got out of that. Somehow God got us out of that. There's no other way to explain that. But you know what? several years after that event, when I would go back to the cove and I would walk that trail, inside of me, I had a feeling, watch out, a bear is probably going to jump out from around that. That's anxiety. And even now, as I walk, when I go to Tennessee and walk in my trails and I walk, I look up to see if there are any cubs. That's where those cubs were. You know, when you're walking through the mountains and thinking about bears, I never thought about looking up. Well, what I didn't know was that's where the little babies are. They're up there getting berries and things off the tree. So even now, I sense, you know, I'm not saying I'm paranoid about it. I guess I'm saying I have anxiety about it. But it's not fear. I'm not afraid to walk through the thing. But there's that feeling. Now, you probably have something maybe like that from time to time. But anxiety is a real thing. Now, here's the real question. Is there a cure for anxiety? Well, now that is a good question. And some won't agree with my conviction about the answer to the question. But my conviction is what I believe. Of course, if you watch the commercials on TV about all the medicines you can buy, they say this is a solution to anxiety. Well, is there a cure? Well, here's what I believe. I don't believe there's a cure for anxiety. I believe there's a treatment for anxiety. I believe there's help. You say, why do you not believe there's a cure? Well, we're all imperfect people, and we're never going to be everything God has made us to be till one day we're with Him. And so I think that the flesh part, there will always be a tendency. Some people have more, some people have less. I mean, some people are anxious about riding elevators. Some people are anxious about this or anxious about that. Probably all of us have some anxiety about certain things. And you say, well, can that be cured? Well, I don't believe so. But I think it can be helped. I think it can be treated. And I think the best place we have to read about that in the Bible is our scripture today on page 1044 in Philippians chapter number 4. So if you'll look with me, I want to show you what I think to be the treatment. Now, I guess if we could be 100% at this, then we could be cured. But I'm not sure we can be 100% at anything in the Bible because we are flesh as well as spirit. And, you know, Paul said, what I want to do is not what I do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I do. Well, what was his problem? Well, his problem was he was a human being. And so are you, and so am I. But God says, here's something that will help you. Now, look with me. This would be the most, I think, classic verses in all the Bible on anxiety in Philippians chapter 4. Now, look with me down, if you will, in verse 6. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I wish sometimes when I read the Bible that the Holy Spirit had, in this case, told the Apostle Paul, Paul, tell them be anxious for less. Or maybe be anxious on Thursday. Or be anxious when there's sickness in the family. But the Holy Spirit told Paul to write that, be anxious for nothing. Now that's a huge, huge thing for the Word of God to tell us. But one of the things I love so much about the Bible, it not only tells us what to do and what not to do, the Bible tells us how to do it. And that's what I want to show you today. Now, how do you do that? Well, let's go back in verse number 4, and I'm going to mention 4 things today that we find in these verses, verses 4 through 8. There are 4 things that I think will help whatever anxiety that you go through, and I do believe from time to time we all go through certain anxieties. And I'd be the first to say, I certainly deal with this. We'll be at MD Anderson tomorrow with Dottie going through all kind of stuff. Now, it's not that I don't trust God. It's not that I don't have faith. But there will be within me tomorrow an anxiousness about, you know, how's this going to show and what is this going to say and what is this going to do? I mean, it's just human, you know, we call it whatever we want to. But I can promise you tomorrow I'll remember what I'm talking about here today. The first thing the Bible tells us to do when we feel anxiety is celebrate God's goodness. Look in verse number four. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Celebrate God's goodness. You know, when we're going through something that makes us anxious, if we can just celebrate and focus on God's goodness. You know, I've mentioned before that my life verse, and it has been since September of 2014, and it became my life verse at that time. In fact, I was at Tahoe, and I was out by the beautiful water there reading my Bible, and I ran across this verse. As I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with Him at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. That's out of the NIV. That verse gripped me so that I wrote in my Bible, this is my daily little reading Bible here, I said, effective 9/17/14, Tahoe. And then I've renewed that. I renewed it again another year, and I renewed it again another year. But that's what we're talking about here. When we celebrate God's goodness, I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with Him in my right hand, not be shaken. So when we are going through a time of anxiety, celebrate the good things that God has given you and that God is to you in your life. And it helps you get your mind off the anxiety and on the goodness of God. See, now, an illustration that would be, if you don't mind my being this personal, whatever we go through tomorrow with Dottie, here's the good news. She's cancer-free. You know, now we have other bumps in the road. Praise God for that. But like, I'm going to celebrate that tomorrow while I'm concerned about this and concerned about that and how they deal and all this kind of stuff. But the big picture is sometimes, whether it be that or whatever, we forget to celebrate the goodness of God by letting the things that makes us anxious, they occupy our minds. Well, after that, ask God for help. Look in verse 6 again. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you ask God for help. You know, God, God knows if you're anxious. God knows what, I mean, you can't hide from God. Just be honest with God and say, God, I'm just going to ask you now, would you help in this situation here that has me feeling this unease, like I'm almost out of breath inside. I don't know exactly how to put in words, but that's what the word anxiety means. And then leave your concerns with God. Back in verse 6 again, it's a beautiful verse. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you leave your concerns with God. And then meditate on good things. In verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are, the list comes, you know, true, noble, just, pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, anything in there, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. So meditate on good things. Now, we don't have it on the screen, but I've mentioned four little things right here in the scripture. Like, first of all, celebrate God's goodness. Ask God for help. Leave your concerns with God and meditate on good things. Now, each one of those, if we looked at the first letter, it's like C-A-L-M. C, celebrate God's goodness. A, ask God for help. L, leave your concerns with God. And M, meditate on good things. In other words, that, you know, the battle's in the mind. Well, that would be an acrostic of calm, C-A-L-M. And you can memorize that just sitting here today. Just, you know, C, celebrate. A, ask God for help. L, leave your concern with God. And M, meditate on good things. So here's where we are today. When you feel anxious, and we all from time to time do, I just always try to remember that word calm. Because when you're anxious, what you need is some calm. When I'm talking to people that are anxious, what they need is some calm. And the fact of the matter is, if you would like some calm when you're anxious, here's what we need to remember. God is ready to give it. And it's just simply up to you and to me to do what? To do our part. And what is our part? We just celebrate God's goodness. So, you know, God, this thing, it's not like we deny what we're going through, but rejoice the Lord. God, you know, the big picture is, God, I have much to celebrate in my life. And then I just ask God for help, leave my concern with God, and then meditate on good things. Don't, you know, control your thinking. Bring your thoughts, the Bible says, into captivity, the obedience of Christ. One of the few things in life we can control is our thoughts. You can control your thoughts. You really can. And the devil knows that and does everything he can to interfere with that. But here in the Bible, I think, is some real wonderful help when we're going through times of anxiety. So, Father God, you know, it's one thing to gather together with believers and say, hey, you know, anxiety is a real issue. We all, from time to time, deal with it. And God, it can be a very paralyzing thing. In fact, to some people, it's a very paralyzing thing. It can be a destroying thing, actually. And God, the fact of the matter is, in Christ, we have so much to celebrate. So God, help us, even when we're going through things that would make us anxious and that even do, and we begin to feel that feeling of anxiety within, God, help us to celebrate your goodness, God. You're so good to us. All of us, here we are, physically able to get in here in this room today. And there are many, many, many people, some of which perhaps I know better than I am, that they can't do that today. We take the blessings of life for granted. God, help us celebrate your goodness to us. And God, when we have these things come up, just ask you for help. Just ask you for help, God. Then leave our concern with you. God, help us do that. And then meditate on good things. And God, we'll have some calm. Thank you. You're ready to give it. Help us do our part to receive it. Now, God, bless each one today. And I don't know what everybody is going through in their life, but God, you do. And those today that have special need, I pray today you'd just give them a special calm. And then, God, we'll be around people today. All of us will. And we may be around some people today that really just need a little word of encouragement, a little word of help. God, help us be sensitive to that and help us today to do what we can to be a help. In Jesus' name, amen.